Chapter 31, The Supreme Perfection. Whatever position one may have, if he is fully conversant with the science of Krishna, Krishna consciousness, he can become a bona fide spiritual master, initiator, or teacher of the science. In other words, one can become a bona fide spiritual master if he has sufficient knowledge of the science of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. The position does not depend on a particular position in society or on birth. This is the conclusion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it is in accordance with the Vedic injunctions. On the strength of this conclusion, Lord Chaitanya, previously known as Vishvambhar, accepted a spiritual master, Ishwarapuri, who was a sannyasi. Similarly, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya also accepted another sannyasi as their spiritual master, Madhavendrapuri. This Madhavendrapuri is also known as Lakshmipati Tirtha. Similarly, another great Acharya, Sri Rasikananda, accepted Sri Shamananda as his spiritual master, although he was not born of a Brahmin family. So also, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti accepted Narottam Das Thakur as spiritual master. In ancient days, there was even a hunter named Dharma, who became a spiritual master for many people. There are clear instructions in Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam stating that a person, be he Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, should be accepted by his personal qualifications and not by birth. One's position should be established by personal qualifications and not by birth. For example, if a man is born in a Brahmin family, but his personal qualifications are those of a Shudra, he should be accepted as a Shudra. Similarly, if a person is born in a Shudra family, but has the qualifications of a Brahmin, he should be accepted as a Brahmin. All Shastric injunctions, as well as the versions of great sages and authorities, establish that a bona fide spiritual master is not necessarily a Brahmin. The only qualification is that he be conversant with the science of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. That alone makes one perfectly eligible to become a spiritual master. This is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his discussions with Ramananda Roy. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is stated that if one bona fide spiritual master is born in a Brahmin family, and another, who is also qualified, is born in a Shudra family, one should accept the one who is born in a Brahmin family. This statement serves as a social compromise, but it has nothing to do with spiritual understanding. This injunction is only applicable for those who consider social status more important than spiritual status. It is not for people who are spiritually serious. A serious person would accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction that anyone, regardless of his position, conversant with Krishna's science, must be accepted as the spiritual master. There are many injunctions in the Padma Purana which state that a highly elevated, spiritually advanced devotee of the Lord is always a first-class devotee and is therefore a spiritual master. But a highly elevated person born in a Brahmin family cannot be a spiritual master unless he is a devotee of the Lord. A person born in a Brahmin family may be conversant with all of the rituals of the Vedic scriptures, but if he is not a pure devotee, he cannot be a spiritual master. In all shastras, the chief qualification of a bona fide spiritual master is that he be conversant in the science of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya therefore requested Ramananda Roy to go on teaching him without hesitation, not considering Lord Chaitanya's position as a sannyasi. Thus, Lord Chaitanya urged him to continue speaking on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. "Because you are asking me to speak on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna," Ramananda Roy humbly submitted, "I will obey your order. I will speak in whatever way you like." Thus, Ramananda Roy humbly submitted himself as a puppet before Lord Chaitanya, the puppet master. He only wanted to dance according to the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He compared his tongue to a stringed instrument, saying, you are the player of that instrument. Thus, as Lord Chaitanya would play, Ramananda Roy would vibrate the sound. He said that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations and the cause of all causes. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, innumerable incarnations, expansions of the Supreme Lord, and innumerable universes also. And of all these existences, the Supreme Lord Krishna is the only source. His transcendental body is composed of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, and he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda and the inhabitant of Goloka Vrindavan. He is full with six opulences, all wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. In Brahma Samhita, it is confirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the Lord of all lords, and his transcendental body is Sachit Ananda. No one is the source of Krishna, but Krishna is the source of everyone. He is the supreme cause of all causes and the resident of Vrindavan. He is also very attractive, just like Cupid. One can worship him by Kama Gayatri Mantra. In Brahma Samhita, the transcendental land of Vrindavan is described as being always spiritual. That spiritual land is populated by goddesses of fortune who are known as gopis. These are all beloved of Krishna, and Krishna is the only lover of all those gopis. The trees of that land are kalpavriksha, wish-fulfilling trees, and one can have anything he wants from them. The land is made of touchstone and the water of nectar. In that land, all speech is song, and all walking is dancing, and one's constant companion is the flute. Everything is self-luminous, just like the sun in this material world. The human form of life is meant for understanding this transcendental land of Vrindavan, and one who is fortunate should cultivate knowledge of Vrindavan and its residents. In that supreme abode are Surabhi cows that overflood the land with milk. Since not even a moment there is misused, there is no past, present, or future. An expansion of this Vrindavan, which is the supreme abode of Krishna, is also present on this earth, and superior devotees worship it as the supreme abode. However, no one can appreciate Vrindavan without being highly elevated in spiritual knowledge, Krishna consciousness. According to ordinary experience, Vrindavan appears to be just like an ordinary village, but in the eyes of a highly elevated devotee, it is as good as the original Vrindavan. A great saintly acharya has sung, "When will my mind be cleared of all contamination, so I will be able to see Vrindavan as it is? And when will I be able to understand the literatures left by the Goswamis, so that I will be able to know of the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna?" The loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavan are also transcendental. They appear as ordinary lusty affairs of this material world, but there is a gulf of difference. In the material world, there may be the temporary awakening of lust, but it disappears after so-called satisfaction. In the spiritual world, the love between the gopis and Krishna is constantly increasing. That is the difference between transcendental love and material lust. The lust, or so-called love, arising out of this body, is as temporary as the body itself. But the love arising from the eternal soul in the spiritual world is on the spiritual platform, and that love is also eternal. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as the evergreen Cupid. Lord Krishna is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra, and the specific mantra by which he is worshipped is called Kama Gayatri. Vedic literatures explain that that sound vibration, which can elevate one from mental concoction, is called Gayatri. The Kama Gayatri Mantra is composed of 24.5 syllables, thus: Klaim Kama Devaya Vidmahe, Pushpa Banaya Dimahi, Tano Nanga Prachodayet. This Kama Gayatri is received from the spiritual master when the disciple is advanced in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, this Kama Gayatri mantra and samskara, or reformation of a perfect Brahman, are offered by the spiritual master when he sees that his disciple is advanced in spiritual knowledge. Even then, the Kama Gayatri is not uttered under certain circumstances. In any case, the chanting of Hare Krishna is sufficient to elevate one to the highest spiritual platform. In Brahma Samhita, a nice description of the flute of Krishna is given. When Krishna began to play on his flute, the sound vibration entered into the ear of Brahma as the Vedic mantra Om. This Om is composed of three letters, A, U, and M, and it describes our relationship with the Supreme Lord, our activities by which we can achieve the highest perfection of love, and the actual position of love on the spiritual platform. When the sound vibration of Krishna's flute is expressed through the mouth of Brahma, it becomes Gayatri. Thus, by being influenced by the sound vibration of Krishna's flute, Brahma, the supreme creature and the first living entity of this material world, was initiated as a Brahman. That Brahma was initiated as a Brahman by the flute of Krishna is confirmed by Srila Jiva Goswami. When Brahma was enlightened by the Gayatri mantra through Krishna's flute, he attained all Vedic knowledge. Acknowledging the benediction offered to him by Krishna, he became the original spiritual master of all living entities. The word kleem added to the Gayatri mantra is explained in Brahma Samhita as the transcendental seed of love of Godhead, or the seed of the Kama Gayatri. The object is Krishna, who is the evergreen Cupid, and by utterance of kleem mantra, Krishna is worshipped. It is also stated in the Gopal Tapani Upanishad that when Krishna is spoken of as Cupid, one should not think of him as the Cupid of this material world. As already explained, Vrindavan is the spiritual abode of Krishna, and the word Cupid is also spiritual and transcendental. One should not take the material Cupid and Krishna to be on the same level. The material Cupid represents the attraction of the external flesh and body, but the spiritual Cupid is the attraction by which the supersoul attracts the individual soul. Actually, lust and sex are there in spiritual life, but when the spirit soul is embodied in material elements, that spiritual urge is expressed through the material body and is therefore pervertedly reflected. When one actually becomes conversant in the science of Krishna consciousness, he can understand that his material desire for sex is abominable, whereas spiritual sex is desirable. Spiritual sex is of two kinds, one in accordance with the constitutional position of the self, and the other in accordance with the object. When one understands the truth about this life but is not completely cleansed of material contamination, he is not factually situated in the transcendental abode, Vrindavan, although he may understand spiritual life. When, however, one becomes free from the sex urges of the material body, he can actually attain the supreme abode of Vrindavan. When one is so situated, he can utter the Kama Gayatri and Kama Bij mantra. Ramananda Roy then explained that Krishna is attractive both for men and women, for the movable and the immovable, indeed, for all living entities. For this reason, he is called the Transcendental Cupid. Ramananda Roy then quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, stating that when the Lord appeared before the damsels of Braja, smiling and playing on his flute, he appeared just like Cupid. There are different kinds of devotees who have different aptitudes and relationships with the Supreme Lord. Any one relationship with the Lord is as good as any other because the central point is Krishna. As stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasures, and he is always attracting the gopis by the spiritual luster of his body. He especially attracts Taraka, Pali, Shama, and Lalita. Krishna is very dear to Radharani, the foremost gopi. Like Krishna, the gopis are glorified by Krishna's pastimes. There are different kinds of relationships with Krishna, and anyone who is attracted to Krishna by a particular relationship is glorified. Krishna is so beautiful, transcendental, and attractive that he sometimes attracts even himself. The following verse appears in Gita Govinda. Vishvesham anuranjanena janayan anandam indivara shreni shamala kamalayar upana yan angayar anangotsavam swachchandam ranja sundaribir abita pratyangam alingata sringara saki murtiman eva madhau mugdo hari kridati. My dear friend, just see how Krishna is enjoying his transcendental pastimes in the spring by expanding the beauty of his personal body. His soft legs and hands, just like the most beautiful moon, are used on the bodies of the gopis. When he embraces different parts of their bodies, he is so beautiful. Krishna is so beautiful that he attracts even Narayan, as well as the goddess of fortune, who associates with Narayan. In Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhuma Purusha Mahavishnu told Krishna, "My dear Krishna and Arjuna, I have taken the Brahmin's sons just to see you." Arjuna attempted to save some youths who had died untimely at Dwarka, and when he failed to save them, Krishna took him to the Bhuma Purusha. And when the Bhuma Purusha brought forth those dead bodies as living entities, he said, "Both of you appear to preserve religious principles in the world and to annihilate the demons." In other words, the Bhuma Purusha was also attracted by the beauty of Krishna, and he concocted this pastime just as a pretext to see Krishna. It is recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam that after the serpent Kaliya was punished by Krishna, one of Kaliya's wives told Krishna, "Dear Lord, we cannot understand how this fallen serpent got the opportunity of being kicked by your lotus feet, when even the goddess of fortune underwent austerities for several years just to see you." How Krishna is attracted by his own beauty is described in Lalita Madhava. Upon seeing his own picture, Krishna lamented, "How glorious this picture is! It is attracting me just as it attracts Radharani." After giving a summary of the beauty of Krishna, Ramananda Roy began to speak of the spiritual energy of Krishna, which is headed by Srimati Radharani. Krishna has immense energetic expansions. Three energies are predominant: the internal energy, external energy, and marginal energy. This is confirmed in the sixth chapter of Vishnu Purana, where it is said that Vishnu has one energy, which is called spiritual energy, and it is manifested in three ways. When spiritual energy is overwhelmed by ignorance, it is called marginal energy. As far as spiritual energy itself is concerned, it is exhibited in three forms because Krishna is a combination of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As far as his bliss is concerned, his spiritual energy is manifested as the pleasure-giving potency. His eternity is manifested as energy, and his knowledge is manifested as spiritual perfection. As confirmed in Vishnu Purana, the pleasure potency of Krishna gives Krishna transcendental pleasure and bliss. Thus, when Krishna wants to enjoy pleasure, he exhibits his own spiritual potency known as Ladini. In his spiritual form, Krishna enjoys his spiritual energy, and that is the sum and substance of the Radha-Krishna pastimes. These pastimes can only be understood by elevated devotees. One should not try to understand the Radha-Krishna potencies and pastimes from the mundane platform. Generally, people misunderstand these as being material. When the pleasure potency is further condensed, it is called Mahabhava. Srimati Radharani, the eternal consort of Krishna, is the personification of that Mahabhava. In this regard, in Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami states that there are two competitors in love with Krishna, Radharani and Chandravali. When they are compared, it appears that Radharani is superior, for she possesses Mahabhava Swarup. Mahabhava Swarup, the personification of Mahabhav, is applicable to Radharani only. Mahabhav is full of the pleasure potency, and it is an exhibition of the highest love for Krishna. Radharani is therefore known throughout the world as the most beloved of Krishna, and her name is always associated with Krishna as Radha Krishna. Brahma Samhita also confirms that Krishna expands himself by his pleasure potency in the spiritual world, and that these potencies are all non-different from Krishna. Although Krishna is always enjoying the company of his pleasure potency expansions, he is all-pervading. Thus, Brahma offers his respectful obeisances to Govinda, the cause of all causes. As Krishna is the highest emblem of spiritual perfection, so Radharani is the highest emblem of that spiritual pleasure potency by which Krishna is satisfied. Since Krishna is unlimited, in order to satisfy him, Radharani is also unlimited. Krishna is satisfied just by seeing Radharani, but Radharani expands herself in such a way that Krishna desires to enjoy her more. Because Krishna was unable to estimate the pleasure potency of Radharani, he decided to accept the role of Radharani, and that combination is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy then began to explain Radharani as the supreme emblem of Krishna's pleasure potency. Radharani expands herself in different forms, known as Lalita, Vishakha, and her other confidential associates. In his book, Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami explains the characteristics of Srimati Radharani. He points out that the body of Radharani is in itself an actual evolution of transcendental pleasure. That body is decorated with flowers and fragrant aromas and is complete with transcendental love for Krishna. That is the personification of his pleasure potency. That transcendental body takes bath three times, first in the water of mercy, second in the water of youthful beauty, and third in the water of youthful luster. After taking bath three times in that way, her body is covered with shining garments and decorated with Krishna's personal beauty, which is compared to cosmetics. Thus, her beauty constitutes the highest artistry. Her body is also decorated with the ornaments of spiritual ecstasy, trembling tears, petrification, perspiration, choking, cessation of all bodily functions due to transcendental pleasure, stumbling, high blood pressure, and madness. The decorative transcendental pleasure potency manifests nine symptoms. Five of these are manifested by the expansion of her personal beauty, which is adorned with garlands of flowers. Her patient calmness is compared with a covering of cloths, which have been cleansed by camphor. Her confidential agony for Krishna is the knot in her hair, and the mark of Tilak on her forehead is her fortune. Radharani's sense of hearing is eternally fixed on Krishna's name and fame. One's lips become red from chewing betel nuts. Similarly, the borders of Radharani's eyes are blackened due to her complete attachment to Krishna. This darkness might be compared to ointment used by nature when nature jokes with Radha and Krishna. Radharani's smile is just like the taste of camphor. The garland of separation moves on her body when she lies down on the bed of pride within the room of aroma. Out of ecstatic affection for Krishna, her breast is covered by the blouse of anger. Reputed as the best of all Krishna's girlfriends, she plays a stringed instrument. When Krishna stands in his youthful posture, she puts her hand on his shoulder. Although she possesses so many transcendental qualities, she is always engaged in the service of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is decorated with Sudipta Sattvika emotions, which sometimes include tribulation and sometimes pacification. All the transcendental ecstasies are manifested in the body of Srimati Radharani. Sudipta Sattvika emotions are manifest when a lover is overwhelmed with certain feelings which he or she cannot check. Radharani has another emotion called Kila Kinchita, which is manifest in 20 different ways. These emotions are manifested partly due to body, mind, and habit. As far as the bodily emotions are concerned, they are manifested in posture and movement. As far as the emotions of the mind are concerned, they are manifested as beauty, luster, complexion, flavor, talking, magnanimity, and patience. As far as habitual emotions are concerned, they are manifested as pastimes, enjoyment, preparation, and forgetfulness. The tilak of fortune is on the forehead of Srimati Radharani, and she also has a locket of prema vaichitya. Prema vaichitya is manifest when a lover and beloved meet and fear separation. Srimati Radharani is 15 days younger than Krishna. She always keeps her hand on the shoulders of her friends, and she always talks and thinks of pastimes with Krishna. She always offers Krishna a kind of intoxication by her sweet talks, and she is always prepared to fulfill his desires. In other words, she supplies all the demands of Sri Krishna, and she possesses unique and uncommon qualities for Krishna's satisfaction. In Govinda Lilamrita, there is a verse which states, "Who is the breeding ground for Krishna's affection?" The answer is that it is only Srimati Radhika. Who is Krishna's most lovable object? The answer is that it is only Srimati Radhika and no one else. Sheen in the hair, moisture in the eyes, and firmness in the breasts are all qualities present in Srimati Radhika. Only Srimati Radhika is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. No one else can do so. Satyabhama is another competitor of Srimati Radharani, but she always desires to come to the standard of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is so expert in all affairs that all the damsels of Braja come to learn arts from her. She is so extraordinarily beautiful that even the goddess of fortune and Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, desire elevation to her standard of beauty. Arundhati, who is known as the most chaste lady in the universe, desires to learn the standard of chastity from Srimati Radharani. Since even Lord Krishna cannot estimate Radharani's highly transcendental qualities, it is not possible for an ordinary man to estimate them. After hearing Ramananda Roy speak of the qualities of Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya desired to hear from him about the reciprocation of love between them. Ramananda Roy described Krishna as Dhiralalita, a word which describes a person who is very cunning and youthful, who is always expert in joking, who is without anxiety, and who is always subservient to his girlfriend. Krishna is always engaged in love affairs with Radharani, and he takes to the bushes of Vrindavan to enjoy his lusty activities with her. Thus, he successfully carries out his lusty instincts. In Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated, "By his impudent and daring talks about sex indulgence, Krishna obliged Srimati Radharani to close her eyes, and taking advantage of this, Krishna painted many pictures on her breasts. These pictures served as subject matter for Radharani's friends to joke about. Thus, Krishna was always engaged in lusty activities, and thus he made his youthful life successful." Upon hearing of these transcendental activities, Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Ramananda, What you have explained regarding the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna is perfectly correct. Yet there is something more I would like to hear from you. It is very difficult for me to express anything beyond this, Ramananda Roy replied. I can only say that there is an emotional activity called Prema Vilas Vivarta, which I may try to explain, but I do not know whether you will be happy to hear it. In Prema Vilas, there are two kinds of emotional activities, separation and meeting. That transcendental separation is so acute that it is actually more ecstatic than meeting. Ramananda Roy was expert in understanding these highly elevated dealings between Radha and Krishna, and he composed a nice song which he narrated to the Lord. The purport of the song is that the lover and the beloved, before meeting, generate a kind of emotion by the exchange of their transcendental activities. That emotion is called raga, or attraction. Srimati Radharani expressed her willingness that this attraction and affection between us rise to the highest extent. But the cause of this attraction is Radharani herself. Whatever the cause may be, Radharani said, that affection between you and me has mixed us in oneness. Now that it is the time of separation, I cannot see the history of the evolution of this love. There was no cause or mediator in our love save our meeting itself and the visionary exchange of feelings. This exchange of feelings between Krishna and Radharani is very difficult to understand unless one is elevated to the platform of pure goodness. Such transcendental reciprocation is not even possible to understand from the platform of material goodness. One has to actually transcend material goodness in order to understand. This is because the exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is not a subject matter of this material world. Even the greatest mental speculator cannot understand this directly or indirectly. Material activities are manifested either for the gross body or the subtle mind, but this exchange of feelings between Radha and Krishna is beyond such manifestations and beyond intellectual mental speculation. It can only be understood by purified senses, freed from all the designations of the material world. Those who have purified senses can understand these transcendental features and exchanges. But those who are impersonalists and who have no knowledge of spiritual senses can only discriminate within the scope of the material senses and thus cannot understand spiritual exchanges or spiritual sensual activities. Those who are elevated by virtue of experimental knowledge can only satisfy their blunt material senses either by gross bodily activities or by mental speculation. Everything generated from the body or the mind is always imperfect and perishable. But transcendental spiritual activities are always bright and wonderful. Pure love on the transcendental platform is the paragon of purity, devoid of material affection and completely spiritual. Affection for matter is perishable, as indicated by the inebriety of sex in the material world. But there is no such inebriety in the spiritual world. Hindrances on the path of sense satisfaction cause material distress, but one cannot compare that with spiritual separation. In spiritual separation, there is neither inebriety nor ineffectiveness, as one finds with material separation. Lord Chaitanya admitted that this is the highest position of transcendental loving reciprocation, and he told Ramananda Roy, "By your grace only have I been able to understand such a high transcendental position. Such a position cannot be attained without the performance of transcendental activities. So will you kindly explain to me how I can raise myself to this platform?" "It is similarly difficult for me to make you understand," Ramananda replied. "As far as I am concerned, I can only speak what you wish me to. No one can escape your supreme will. Indeed, there is no one in the world who can surpass your supreme will. And although I appear to be speaking, I am actually not the speaker. You are speaking. Therefore, you are both the speaker and the audience. Thus, let me speak only as you will me to speak about the performance required to attain this highest transcendental position. Ramananda Roy then began to relate the confidential and transcendental activities of Radha and Krishna. These activities cannot be understood in the emotional relationship with the Supreme Lord as master and servant, friend and friend, or parent and son. This confidential subject matter can be understood only in the association of the damsels of Braja. For the confidential activities have arisen from the feelings and emotions of those damsels. Without the association of the damsels of Braja, one cannot nourish or cherish such transcendental understanding. In other words, these confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna have expanded through the mercy of the damsels. Without their mercy, they cannot be understood. One has to follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja in order to understand. When one is actually situated in that understanding, he becomes eligible to enter into the confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There is no alternative to understand their confidential pastimes. This is confirmed in Govinda Lilamrita. Although manifest, happy, expanded, and unlimited, the emotional exchanges between Radha and Krishna can only be understood by the damsels of Braja or by their followers. Just as no one can understand the expansion of the spiritual energy of the Supreme Lord without his causeless mercy, no one can understand the transcendental sex life between Radha and Krishna without following in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja. The personal associates of Radharani are called Sakhis, and her near assistants are called Manjaris. It is very difficult to express their dealings with Krishna because they have no desire to mix with Krishna or to enjoy him personally. Rather, they are always ready to help Radharani associate with Krishna. Their affection for Krishna and Radharani is so pure that they are simply satisfied when Radha and Krishna are together. Indeed, their transcendental pleasure is in seeing Radha and Krishna united. The actual form of Radharani is just like a creeper embracing the tree of Krishna, and the damsels of Braja, the associates of Radharani, are just like the leaves and flowers of that creeper. When a creeper embraces a tree, the leaves and flowers, as well as the creeper, automatically embrace it. Govinda Lilamrita confirms that Radharani is the expansion of the pleasure potency of Krishna and is compared with a creeper, and her associates, the damsels of Braja, are compared to the flowers and leaves of that creeper. When Radharani and Krishna enjoy themselves, the damsels of Braja relish the pleasure more than Radharani herself. Although the associates of Radharani do not expect any personal attention from Krishna, Radharani is so pleased with them that she arranges individual meetings between Krishna and the damsels of Braja. Indeed, Radharani tries to combine or unite her associates with Krishna by many transcendental maneuvers, and she takes more pleasure in these meetings than in her own meetings with him. When Krishna sees that both Radharani and her associates are pleased by his association, he becomes more satisfied. Such association and loving reciprocation have nothing to do with material lust, although it resembles the material union between man and woman. It is only because that similarity is there that such reciprocation is sometimes called, in transcendental language, transcendental lust. As explained in the Gautamiya Tantra, lust means attachment to one's personal sense gratification. But as far as Radharani and her associates are concerned, they did not desire personal sense gratification, They only wanted to satisfy Krishna. This is further confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam in one of the speeches of the gopis. Yate sujata charanam buruham staneshu bitashanai priya dadamahi karkasheshu te tatavim atasi tad vyatate nakim svit kripad bir brahmati dir bhavad ayushamna. My dear friend Krishna, you are now roaming in the forest with your bare feet, which you sometimes keep on our breasts. When your feet are on our breasts, we think that our breasts are too hard for your soft feet. Now you are wandering in the forest and walking over stones, and we do not know how you are feeling. Since you are our life and soul, the displeasure you undergo in traveling over rough stones is giving us great distress. Such feelings expressed by the damsels of Braja constitute the highest Krishna conscious emotions. Anyone who actually becomes captivated by Krishna consciousness approaches this level of the gopis. There are 64 categories of devotional service by performance of which one can rise to the gopis' stage of unconditional devotion. Affection for Krishna on the level of the gopis is called raganuga, spontaneous love. When one enters into a spontaneous loving affair with Krishna, there is no need to follow the Vedic rules and regulations. There are various kinds of personal devotees of Lord Krishna in the transcendental abode. For example, there are servants of Krishna like Raktak and Patraka, and friends of Krishna just like Sridham and Sudham. There are also parents of Krishna, just like Nanda and Yashoda, who are always engaged in the service of Krishna according to their respective transcendental emotions. One who desires to enter into the supreme abode of Krishna can take shelter of one of such transcendental servitors. Then, through the execution of loving service, one can attain transcendental affection for Krishna. In other words, the devotee in this material world who executes loving service in pursuance of the activities of those eternal associates with Krishna also attains the same post when he is perfected. The sages mentioned in the Upanishads and in Shruti also desire the post of the gopis, and they also follow in the footsteps of the gopis in order to attain that highest goal of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam when it is said that the sages practice pranayama or trance by controlling the breathing process, mind, and senses through the mystic yoga practice. Thus, they try to merge into the Supreme Brahman. This same goal is attained by atheists who deny the existence of God. If such atheists are killed by an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they also merge into the Brahman existence of the Supreme Lord. However, when the damsels of Vrindavan worship Sri Krishna, it is as though they have been bitten by a snake, for Krishna's body is compared with the body of a snake. A snake's body is never straight, it is always curling. Similarly, Krishna often stands in a three-curved posture, and he has bitten the gopis with transcendental love. The gopis are certainly better situated than all mystic yogis and others who desire to merge into the Supreme Brahman. The sages of Dandakaranya also follow in the footsteps of the damsels of Braja in order to attain a similar position. One cannot attain that position simply by following the regulative principles. Rather, one must seriously follow the principles of the gopis. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein it is stated that Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Srimati Yashoda, is not easily available to those following the principles of mental speculation, but is easily available to all kinds of living beings who follow the path of devotional service. There are many pseudo-devotees claiming to belong to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sect, who artificially dress themselves as the damsels of Braja, and this is not approved by advanced spiritualists or advanced students of devotional service. Such people dress the outward material body because they foolishly confuse the body with the soul. They are mistaken when they think that the spiritual bodies of Krishna, Radharani, and their associates, the damsels of Braja, are composed of material nature. One should know perfectly well that all such manifestations are expansions of eternal bliss and knowledge in the transcendental world. They have nothing to do with these material bodies. Thus, the bodies, dresses, decorations, and activities of the damsels of Vrindavan are not of this material cosmic manifestation. The damsels of Vrindavan are not a subject for the attraction of those in the material world. They are transcendental attractions for the all-attractive Krishna. Because the Lord is all-attractive, he is called Krishna. But the damsels of Vrindavan are attractive even to Krishna. Therefore, they are not of this material world. If one wrongly thinks that the material body is as perfect as the spiritual body and begins to imitate the damsels of Vrindavan, he becomes infested with the Mayavadi impersonal philosophy. The impersonalists recommend a process of aham grahopasana, by which one worships his own body as the supreme. Thinking in this way, such pseudo-transcendentalists dress themselves as the damsels of Braja. Such activities are not acceptable in devotional service. Even Srila Jiva Goswami, the most authoritative acharya in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, has condemned these imitators. The process of transcendental realization is to follow in the footsteps of the associates of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if one thinks himself to be a direct associate of the Supreme Lord, he is condemned. According to authorized Vaishnav principles, one should follow a particular devotee and not think of himself as Krishna's associate. In this way, Ramananda Roy explained that one should accept the mood of the damsels of Braja. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is clearly said that one should accept the emotional activities and not imitate the dress of the associates of Krishna. One should also always meditate upon the affairs between Radha and Krishna in the transcendental world. One should think of Radha and Krishna 24 hours a day and eternally engage in their service. One need not externally change his dress. By following the mood of the associates and friends of Radharani, one can ultimately achieve the perfectional stage and be transferred to Goloka Vrindavan, the transcendental abode of Krishna. The mood of the gopis' emotional pursuit is called Siddha Deha. This word indicates the pure spiritual body which is beyond the senses, mind, and intelligence. Siddha Deha is the purified soul who is just suitable to serve the Supreme Lord. No one can serve the Supreme Lord as his associate without being situated in his pure spiritual identity. That identity is completely free from all material contamination. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, a materially contaminated person transmigrates to another material body by material consciousness. At the time of death, he thinks materially and is therefore transferred into another material body. Similarly, when one is situated in his pure spiritual identity and thinks of the spiritual loving service rendered to the Supreme Lord, he is transferred to the spiritual kingdom to enter into the association of Krishna. In other words, by attaining one's spiritual identity and thinking of Krishna's associates, one can become qualified to transfer to the spiritual kingdom. No one can contemplate or think of the activities of the spiritual kingdom without being situated in his pure spiritual identity, Siddha. Thus, Ramananda Roy said that without attaining Siddha Deha, one can neither become an associate of the damsels nor render service directly to the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his eternal consort, Radharani. In this regard, Ramananda quoted Srimad Bhagavatam. Nayam Shriyanga U Nitantarata Te Prasada Swaryoshitam Nalina Ganda Rucham Kutonya Rasotsavesya Bujadanda Grihita Kanta Labda Shishamya Udagad Braja Bala Vinam. Neither the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, nor even the damsels of the heavenly kingdom can attain the facilities of the damsels of Brajabhumi, and what to speak of others. Lord Chaitanya was very satisfied to hear these statements from Ramananda Roy, and he embraced him. Then both of them began to cry in the ecstasy of transcendental realization. Thus the Lord and Ramananda Roy discussed the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna throughout the night, and in the morning they separated. Ramananda left to go to his place, and the Lord went to take his bath. At the time of separation, Ramananda fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and prayed, "My dear Lord, you have come just to deliver me from this mire of nescience. Therefore, I request that you remain here for at least 10 days to purify my mind of this material contamination. There is no one else who can deliver such transcendental love of God. I have come to you to purify myself by hearing from you the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna," the Lord replied. "I am so fortunate, for you are the only teacher of such transcendental pastimes. I can find no one else in the world who can realize the transcendental loving reciprocation between Radha and Krishna. You are asking me to stay here for 10 days, but I feel like remaining with you for the rest of my life. Please come to Jagannath Puri, my headquarters, and we will remain together for the rest of our lives. Thus I can pass my remaining days in understanding Krishna and Radha by your association." Sriman Ramananda Roy came again to see the Lord the next evening, and there were further discourses on this transcendental subject matter. "What is the highest standard of education?" Lord Chaitanya began his inquiry. And Ramananda Roy immediately replied that the highest standard of education is knowledge of the science of Krishna. "The standard of material education is sense gratification, but the highest standard of spiritual education is knowledge of the science of Krishna." In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that that work which pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the highest work, and that science or knowledge which places one in full Krishna consciousness is the highest knowledge. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, while instructing his childhood friends at school, also stated that hearing of the Lord, chanting, remembering, worshiping, praying, serving, making friends with Krishna, and offering everything to him constituted the highest spiritual knowledge. "And what is the greatest reputation one can have?" Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda immediately replied that a person reputed to be Krishna conscious should be considered the most famous man in the world.